Welcome back to the Haddonfield Horrors Podcast, where we review horror movies and horror franchises. I'm Mark.
I'm Tawan.
And today we're reviewing Krampus, released in 2015, directed by Michael Daughtry, written by Todd Casey, Michael Daughtry, and Zach Shields. Tawan, can you give the people the plot summary?
While the holiday season represents the most magical time of the year, ancient European folklore warns of Krampus, a horned beast who punishes naughty children at Christmas time. When dysfunctional family squabbling causes young Max to lose his festive spirit, it unleashes the wrath of the fearsome demon. As Krampus lays siege to the Ingle home, they must band together to save one another from a monstrous fate.
So, Krampus, you know, we decided to do this movie because I wanted the whole month of December to be Christmas themed. You know, we rarely do like holiday themed episodes like that. So, but we covered all the Black Christmas movies. There's only three, and we had a little ranking. And then I was like, you know, we needed one more movie to end the Christmas season and the year. And Tawan was like, let's do Krampus. And I saw this movie once, but that was like, I think it was the same year it came out, like almost 10 years ago was the last time I saw this movie. So watching it again and then realizing that the people weren't being killed or they were being kidnapped, that kind of like...
Yeah, I don't know why I remember them being killed for some reason. Why in my head did I think this was a gory movie for some reason?
I mean, when looking at this movie, I did see that there are like other like B-movie, you know, straight-to-video Krampus movies where Krampus is actually killing people, but this ain't it.
Yeah, but it's funny because when I was watching it, I was like, I remember this specific movie, but I'm like, why did I feel like I remember this being, like, gory or something? Like, I don't know why I thought this was, like, rated R in my head.
Yeah. It was because the visuals was going crazy. And I was like, keep taking these people out. And then, like, I'm like, damn, Krampus ate the baby. So I'm just thinking everybody is fucking gone. And then realizing, oh, they're not dead. But then they're just captured. And I was just like, oh, shit. So, I don't know. Them being dead up until that point, the movie was like shocking the hell out of me, but then like that twist kind of ruined it all, because like when he woke up I was like, is this some Freddy, some Nightmare on Elm Street type shit? Was this all a nightmare or something like that? And he learned a lesson. Like I was kind of confused.
I kind of thought the same. I don't know, I just remembered it for some reason. I thought it was like gory for what I remember, but I will agree that the designs of everything was like really nice, and the visuals of it, like the practical effects of like the toys, and then like that big ass like Jack in the Box that was like swallowing those kids whole, like that, like those visuals were like cool. But yeah, it wasn't what I remembered it being, but kind of like you, I think I did see this around the time that it came out, so it has been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah, it was kind of distracting for me, but let's move on to some of the standout scenes. There aren't any kills, so we can just put all the capture scenes and all that together, and I say for me... The scene where he's getting Max's sister. What's her name?
Yes, Beth.
Like that, the visual of him like running and jumping like house to house, roof to roof was fucking cool. And with the snow falling, so you couldn't really see him, and like the shadow and all that. That was a good ass scene. I love that scene.
I was gonna say the same actually. That was a really good one. Like I'd be shitting myself if I was her. Like, I wouldn't know what the fuck to do.
Did you see this man is tall, and he wearing the fucking, and he got horns, and he hopping, and he leaping that fucking far?
Yes.
I'm gonna pull a Maria. Like, I'm done. Like, I'm not gonna fight this.
Yeah, like honestly, there is nothing that you could do at that point, like, because like either way, like you saw him jump from the other roof, so it wouldn't be that hard to assume that you could just easily get like pounced on and fucking like killed or whatever. So like, it's like, what options do we have?
And then I say another scene for me. It was more so that it was just like stupid when Krampus is face to face with the grandmother and you see how big he is. Now I'm expecting her, like something to go down, but he just tells the bitch to get in the bag and then that was it. And I was like, we not gonna get this. I thought when she locked the door and shit, it was about to be some epic like battle, like Granny versus Krampus, bro. It just cut, and I was like, the fuck?
No, I think the funniest to me was when Krampus killed or captured Stevie, like threw her down the fucking hole in the middle. Because
Oh
like
yeah, that was funny.
Max was like begging for her life. And it's like, no, take me. He like looked Krampus like looked at Max and it looked at the elves and they just tossed her ass.
Like crazy. I'm like, what the this scene with Max falling to the fire pit, that the CGI didn't work for me.
It did look cheesy.
It looked really bad. It took me out. I think that ending scene, this the wink at the twist when you realize that they're in a snow globe. I like that. It was giving
I
M.
do
Night
like that.
Shyamalan. But like the good M. Night, and I was like, damn, there's like a whole collection of these families in these fucking like snow globes and shit. Then I started thinking, I was like, what if you go over the snow globe and then grandma see her family and the snow globe across from them, but whatever. I don't know. That was a cool little twist. It could
Yeah, I
have
did like
gone
that.
worse.
Yeah, I feel like for like what the movie was like, not like trying to say, but you know, like the family, they really couldn't stand each other, but of course they had to get put in peril to kind of start like fucking with each other again. But now they're stuck with each other for forever on Christmas.
That would piss me. It gotta be cold too. Like you couldn't capture us during the fucking summer, bro. Like what the fuck? But yeah, that was a cool little twist. Were there any other like scenes or captures that stood out for you?
When they took Aunt Dorothy, because they played that random like whimsical sound effect, like pulling her out the house. It was like so weird. It was
And there
like
was a
a
lingers
stock
too.
footage. Yeah, it was like a like stock like sound effect of like pulling her out the house. It just sounded funny when she got pulled, but that's funny. But I also didn't get why the fuck well, I guess I get it because his kids were taken, but like Howard just like jumped on, and when he pulled those people out, and Howard just jumped on, I was like, okay, I don't know why that was kind of random to me.
It was crazy, but I think that's it for me. But let's talk about the characters. Now, I want to talk about the family as a whole, the whole, because they were all super dysfunctional, and like the whole with the aunt and uncle and their kid, like the girls are very masculine, and the son is very. He was giving me creep, like, 'cause something he seemed off. Like that family dynamic was weird.
Yeah, the
And
son was
then
giving me Chris from Family Guy.
And like I was like, are Max's parents about to get a divorce? Like, what the fuck is this going on? And we got grandma here, we got both grandmas here, and I was like, okay, this is a lot going on. It's a lot going on. What about you? What do you think about the family overall?
Overall, like they weren't the worst. But like it could definitely be like better. But I think it's just like those two different types, those two different groups that don't really like mesh, but because they're family, they decide to link up, because like they really don't have anything in common besides being family. Like they all, like the family that Max is with, like Max's side, like they're like more like established in a sense, and you know, they live in a city, like, or suburbs, and they like a certain like a certain style. And the other, like, side of the family, they were the opposite. Like Max's mom said, like, they're used to eating, like, spaghetti and hot dogs or whatever. And to them, like, that wasn't even, like, an insult. That's just what they like. They weren't used to, like, the stuff that she was cooking, like, creme brulee and all that type of stuff. So it was just kind of, like, a difference of, like, what they're used to. And that's kind of what caused a bit of the issues. And then the kids were just dicks. Like, you could just tell those two girls weren't really raised, like, right. Like, they were raised, like, rowdy in a sense. Like, you kind of got that from them. And they weren't really, like, heeding anything. Because, you know, kids in the family could be dicks sometimes. But, like, they were little assholes. And it was two of them. So that didn't even help. And I felt like Max's sister could have stood up for him a bit more. Like, she wasn't really helping him out. I'm like, you got a little brother. It's two of these little girls. So, like, try to help him out or something. Like, she was, like, trying to hold him back, I guess, to kind of, like, keep the image of their family. But I'm like, girl, like, you see he's distressed right now. Help him out. Besides that, why didn't none of the adults try to, like, stop the letter from being read or, like, actually intervene? Like, that was
false. Beat them girls' ass. They need their ass whooped.
No, for real. Like that was the fault of all of them. Yeah, that was, like, fault, like, all of their faults for, like, just kind of letting that happen. Like, even if none of that, like,
that poor baby.
Yeah, like, even if none of that information was in there about, like, the families or all that stuff, that's still, like, that little kid's little letter to Santa. He didn't want nobody else to read that but Santa. Where the fuck Santa's real or not? He knows Santa's not real because he already talked about it in the movie. But he wanted to write his little letter because that's him and his grandma's thing. That one for y'all to read. And you should have stopped that. But they didn't.
Fuck the whole family. But let's go to Omi. Now, I feel like it was a whole story with Omi that I was kind of more interested in than the actual movie. Like, I wanted to see more of, like, Omi's life growing up, and then it could have been, like, a really dark prequel with Omi. So I wanted so much more, and then I was so disappointed because the whole setup of her, like, getting everyone out the house and her locking herself in there, I'm thinking about to be some fucking epic battle or something. Like, Omi finna go about fighting somehow. But then she just got in the fucking bag. And I'm like, I needed more from Omi, but what about you?
She was in her bag. What can you say? yeah, I will agree. They did kind of, like, hype it up a bit in a way that, you know, everybody, because you see that in other movies. Like, there's, like, a character that either has been here before or they know what the fuck is going on. Like, we've been seeing a lot in these type of, like, requels, I guess you could say, when they bring it back someone who experienced the, like, killer or whatever's happening, and they take charge. That's kind of the feeling that you got watching, like, Omi. But once it actually, you know, started, once she actually, like, closed the door and was face-to-face with Krampus, like, she didn't really do anything. And it felt like a setup for something, but we didn't really get anything out of it. And it kind of killed it a bit at that point for her, like, for her character. We were like, oh, okay, she's just gonna die, like, or, like, get captured. So it really didn't do much for her character. But the like, stop motion or, like, CGI kind of little mini story that she got explaining, like, Krampus, that was pretty cool as, like, a little break in between the movie.
Yeah, I mean it more from Omi. But what about Max? Like, the whole Krampus even being there is all because of Max. Like, I kind of felt sorry for the kid. Like, he was being picked on, overlooked. You know, he just wanted... So he was getting beat up, too. It was a lot going on for Max, and I kind of felt sorry for him. And it's kind of bittersweet that he got his wish and his family is, like, together. But now y'all stuck in the fucking snow globe, and now you stuck with these people forever. So it's, like, it's kind of bittersweet. Like, he got his wish, but, like, not in the way he wanted it. What are your thoughts on Max?
Yeah, I feel the same in that he was so excited and wanted to get his letter off to Santa, but it wasn't even like a him decision. It was his family that did it. Like, nobody was like protecting him, like, from those two girls. Like, yes, they weren't doing like anything like that could be considered the worst, but that's your like, either way, that's your child's privacy. They didn't want anyone to read it. They wanted Santa to read it. It doesn't matter. Santa's real. We all know, like, you're a parent at that, like, do what you do to help your child. So they weren't doing that, and he just lost all the hope. So I mean, it was nothing. Like, I do feel bad for him, because you know, it caused the extra stuff to happen and, like, Krampus to come. But out of everyone, he did have the Christmas spirit. And even towards the end, when, like, people were getting, when it was, like, down to the wire, where, like, him and Stevie, he was willing to sacrifice himself. Like, he was pleading. Like, he was doing everything. So I don't think he really should have been in Omi's position, but I think he threw down the Christmas ornament that was given to him. So, like, I guess when he did that, he kind of denounced it, and Krampus put him with the rest of the family, even though he technically didn't deserve it, because he only gave up once everybody else kind of broke him down.
Yeah, Krampus did him dirty. But speaking of Krampus, I have to say that seeing his design and seeing how cool he is makes me mad that he wasn't actually killing people. Because, like, Krampus could have been a badass horror villain. Like, the horns with the Santa costume. He looked buff as hell. And I'm just like, he could have been a cool, like, horror villain. Like, just one of those weird fringe horror villains, like the werewolf or whatever. But what about you? What are your thoughts on Krampus?
Yeah, I do feel the same. Like, kind of finding out that nobody actually died and they just kind of got, like, snatched up or whatever. And then seeing the design for Krampus as well. It's like, oh, so we got all these good, like, practical effects for certain things, but, like, the practical design that we got for Krampus was really good, but wasn't put to use enough. Like, especially seeing how cool it was seeing him in that scene with Beth, and, like, him chasing her down, like, rooftop to rooftop. That was just, like, pretty cool to see. So, like, imagine if, like, he was actually, like, taking them out. That would have been, like, pretty cool. Like, we could have had a mix of the toys doing it, plus, like, Krampus, but he didn't really do much of anything. But I do like that they went for, like, kind of an
out. And, girl, his evil elves. Like, come on.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, the elves, too, like, they kind of went for, like, some out there designs with them and, like, did it practically, too, which is, like, you know, people love to see those, like, type of, like, practical costumes and all that stuff. So, It would have been better if we got a bit more from, like, the Krampus character in that costume, if they were actually, like, dying from him.
And with that, we have come to the end, but not quite the end. Tuan, you can give the people the behind the scenes info and facts.
That I can. So, Krampus had a budget of $15 million and brought in a box office of around $61.5 million. It currently It currently sits at a 67% on Rotten Tomatoes. And on Metacritic, the film has a weighted average score of 49 out of 100, based on around 21 critics, indicating a mixed or average review reception.
But what about our review? Tuan, do we cash or pass Krampus? Tuan?
You know, I'll give Krampus a pass. I'll give it a cash. Sorry. I'll give it a cash. Like, I would watch it again with, like, a little group. Because, you know, there aren't that many, like, holiday-themed horror movies. You know, there are a lot if you count, like, like stuff for, like, sci-fi and, like, just in general. But I would say, like, mainstream ones, there aren't that many for, like, the, like, Christmas time type of feel. So, I think in regards to that, like, this is one that you could, like, put on the background if you're, like, at a Christmas party or, like, with a group of people, and it wouldn't, you know, be, like, an issue, and you really don't even have to pay that much attention to it. But as far as, like, actual, like, horror themes or, like, kills and stuff, it is a little bit lacking in that regard, as they really only get captured and put at the end. So it kind of makes you think they're, like, getting captured and killed, but we don't see, like, any other thing. We don't see them get killed on the camera, so we know they aren't dead.
And for me, it's going to be a pass, simply because this movie was a cash all the way up until the end. Once I realized that no one was being killed, they were being taken, and now they're in a snow globe. I don't know, something, it just took it, away. It took the enjoyment I had of it away. So for me, it's a pass. And with that, we have reached the end of the month, but we have one more. Well, actually, this is going to be our last recording, our last episode of 2023. The next time you hear us will be for a New Year's episode. And it'll be the first episode of 2024. It's going to be New Year's Evil. Period. Which I haven't seen in a long time, so I'm excited. So, any words, Torn?
It's been a good year. We did Scream. We did Scream 6. We did a couple of franchises for you guys. We got some more franchises coming up for the next year. I'm excited. Yeah,
this year wasn't as franchise heavy year. I mean, technically we reviewed two franchises, but one was short. You know, we did the Insidious franchise, and our big one was Saw. And, like, that new Saw movie was amazing. Insidious was good.
And Saw 11 was just announced.
Yes, so I'm excited for that. And then everything with Scream 7 is up in the air. So, oof. You know. Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, we had an interesting year, but next year is going to be good. And Maria picked out our first franchise up. But I do think after, well, we'll talk about all that in the next episode. So thank you all so much for joining us. We had a great year with you guys. Hopefully the next one's also just as good. Good night. If you like this episode, please be sure to check out Hide and Fear Horror's past reviews from big franchises like Halloween, Friday the 13th, and the Chucky franchise, or one-off reviews like Us and Midsommar. You can follow Hide and Fear Horrors on Instagram and TikTok, where the host posts updates and mini reviews. Full episodes are available on several podcasting platforms. If you're listening to us on YouTube, don't forget to please like and subscribe. Hide and Fear Horror is produced by Mark Smart, Maria Perez, and Torin Griffin. Edited by Mark Smart. Theme by Lethal Injections. The Hide and Fear Horrors podcast is a Letters to Media production.
Should we do an intro?